Jam! Hello again and welcome to the Mana Pool. This is episode 449 of the Mana Pool, and I am old. Wait, that's not what I meant to say.
Are you
no,
sure?
No, Chewie, you're not old. Thanks, guys. I appreciate the backup.
I
didn't know where you were going with that. I wanted to find out.
Okay,
you're
so it's
6 years old.
It's not that I'm actually decrepit. It's that you were just wondering where I was going with that, right?
Yeah.
Thank good cover, Mike. So I am Chewie, the old lead dork, and failing miserably at starting the show properly. But I mean, after all this many years, you expect that, right? If you're new to the show, hi, this is how we always start. I apologize for that.
Don't tell them that.
That's too late. They know. We are a podcast about Magic the Gathering and all of the fun that you can have with it. We very rarely talk about tournament-y type things, but it's pre-release. So I'm Chewie. I actually didn't play in a pre-release, but that's okay. I went to one. It's very strange. And with me, as always, are some dorks. Dorks, sound off.
I'm Brian. I'm the lead rambler.
You know, it must be really annoying for Mike to get interrupted every show.
No, I think he's used to it. And I think if you're actually a pretty outstanding guy, you roll with it. So anyway, I'm Brian. I'm the lead rambler and tangent master. And that means I'm going to talk a lot. I'm going to be talked over sometimes, and I'm cool with that. And I went to one pre-release, and it was a fairly small one, and it was only 3 rounds. And I'll get back to that in a little bit. So my sample size was pretty small, but I had an outstanding time. This is a great format.
I'm Mike. I'm the rules guy and game lore guy. I think I might be the youngest person on this call. That's weird.
I'm 13 months younger than Chewie.
Aren't you always the youngest person on this call, though?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I am. So it's not weird. Okay.
Who's older, Dirk or Chewie?
Can't remember.
I will look that up while we talk.
Anyway.
And I went to a pre-release. It was 5 rounds, so it was larger than Brian's, and it was back at the Toy Factory in Hillsborough, North Carolina, the place where I used to go back when I was in high school and like during the summers when I was in college.
I'm not a dork, but I'm pretending to be one on TV. I'm Chris. I'm a former podcasting lady of the night and not the greenest man alive, but a reasonable facsimile thereof. And I went to 6 pre-releases, all of which were 3 rounds.
That is the best way to fit in 6.
Yeah, so. Right.
Well, we what used to do. Sounds? Oh, she sweet. Just started capping them. Because just people were getting too competitive and capping them at 3 rounds and paying a pack per win. And, we're going to try a bonus pack for 3-0 next time just cool. So people have some incentive. But yeah,
You want to reward people for doing well, but it is a pre-release. So yeah. At the same time.
Yeah. That's a one bonus pack doesn't feel like it's too much of an incentive so that people get spiky, but it also feels like a reward for doing well.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely want to be able to go and say, man, I knocked it out of the park this time. I had a great pool and I played well. And so you get something tangible for it. But it is definitely a pre-release. And it's not supposed to be like a Grand Prix trial or something like that, you know? So.
Which is why I don't understand why. We have like a glut of stores around here. Like, we have card shops for days within an easy driving distance.
For days.
And yet it seems like they all want to go, like, you know, rounds based on the number of players and a cut to top 8. I'm like, Jesus, it's a pre-release. Which is why I didn't go to Lucky's during the last pre-release that Lucky's had, is because I hate that, and that's how Billy wanted to do it, so I didn't go. And then look, now it's closed.
No correlation, wow. I'm sure. Jeez. All I'll say to that
specifically
is...
Specifically because Chewie didn't show up.
That's my bad.
Well, what I'll say to that is, yeah, I kind of prefer the way that Chris's store did it, but I think if people didn't want to do it that way, the store wouldn't run it that way. I think there are people in the area that's what they want to do, that's what they'll pay to do, so that's what the stores do. I think the money follows the players. So.
Yeah, exactly. The stores will do whatever the players want them to.
Right. So I wouldn't blame the stores too much. I mean, definitely it's within their control to say this is what we're doing. But I think the only way to really make your voice heard is to do what you did last time, which is to say, you're not running the way that I'd like to. I'm going to go to a store that will. And that way everybody's happy.
I really hate that we live so far from Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina. It's a great shop. You should check it out.
Now with 50% less bow ties, though.
Is it 50? I don't even know the actual percentage.
How many people wear a bow tie these days? I mean, really?
Not enough.
A lawyer, and I see like one a day, maybe. And we have to wear ties, so just don't see them a whole lot, is my point. So I'm willing to, I'm hedging on the conservative side, I think.
Fair enough. You don't want to give it clues all the credit and say it's 100% less bow ties.
Exactly, but. Exactly. There's a chance there's another bow tie there.
But yeah, they run the four round pre-releases with, you know, a payout based on record and, you know, boom, you're done. The way that the old regional pre-releases used to do that we all fell in love with so long ago.
Ah, yes.
Remember when they took those away and said, but don't worry, Premier TOs, we're going to give you all these huge PTQs to make up for the loss of the giant pre-releases.
Oops.
Remember that? I remember.
Oh. Now I'm sad, except I don't really care.
He made a member Barry joke.
What?
Sure. Did you watch South Park this last season?
No.
Okay, then you wouldn't
get it. I
don't
watch television. Anyway, Mike, you were about to say something before all that.
Yeah, I was about to say something. Like, yeah, I was actually kind of glad that just circumstances made it so that going to the toy factory was my only option that weekend because John – He'll run a number of rounds that are based on the number of players, but for pre-releases, you know, he has a prize structure that's based on record and everybody gets at least one pack regardless, like no matter what.
That's
and then if you do especially well, you get a couple more.
Yeah, that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. And it's also a really nice, just friendly, everyone's having a good time environment.
Slam a door, why don't you?
Well, there was that one time.
Still my favorite reference that Bill will just casually throw out in the middle of, like, just talking about a disagreement or something. long-time listeners will know that story and love it. But, yeah. So, pre-release has happened. How should we do this? Should we start with how they went, or should we start with the overall impression? I think we should start with how they went.
Okay.
And lead into an overall impression.
Sure.
So, I went to House of Cards in Winston, because
it's a good
I had
store,
to,
you should go check it out.
It is a good store. And Will, who is a lapsed podcaster, now he's a streamer.
Is this Will Blanks?
No. He lives in Georgia. But yeah, Will bought House of Cards, and kept it open and kept it running. And, you know, God bless him for that because that's a really good store. And I know a bunch of the people nearby were really bummed that their really good store might not be there anymore, but Will stepped up, took it over, and it's awesome. So, I went by, like I said before the show, on Friday night, just to hang out, see people, say hi, you know, during like F&M. And then I went back on Saturday at first to play, but then I had to buy an emergency office chair.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Exactly. Because my old chair. My old chair decided that I did not deserve to live, so it tried to kill me. So, I mean, it didn't go. It's still sitting here, but it's not going to kill me if I don't sit in it. So that'll be Mike's chair for when he comes over to record stuff. No, Mike, it's cool. Sit in this one.
Just make sure you have the camera recording when he sits down.
Exactly. But what? No. Never mind the camcorder. Just sit down. It's fine.
My chair explode.
So I didn't feel like I could afford to pay for pre-release, but I did go and hang out and saw, oh God, I saw Sexy Jared. I gave up my spot to a guy named, Mikey, cause they had to cap it, but I was on the list, but I called the next morning after doing, you know, that budget math and saying, oh crap. And Jared said, hey, a buddy of mine missed the cap. Would it be possible to give your spot to him? I was like, I don't know. Let me call and find out. And yeah, it was. He opened an Oblivion Stone and finished third.
Ooh.
So, screw you, Mikey.
But you're not bitter or anything.
Actually, no, not really.
He was just telling everybody there. He's like, that's my Oblivion Stone!
I did not have any of the, like, deck-building stress or having to pull out a recorder. Okay, do we have, you know, more than a minute? Okay, sweet, let's talk about what happened. None of that. It was actually a very chill experience, which is just what I needed, to be honest. I didn't have to... Okay, where am I sitting? Who am I playing? Who's Robert? Oh, that Robert. Hey, buddy. Yeah, I didn't have to do any of that. It was, you guys know Robert, Dr. Mario. I didn't have to do any of that. It was very nice to just hang out and watch other people play. And because I'm not terribly familiar with the Kaladesh cards that don't make standard, and I'm not familiar at all with Aether Revolt cards, it was really weird to watch people play. It was like the time that I watched the Heroes of the Storm World Championships and the StarCraft World Championship. Like, I was really interested in what was going on, but I had no idea what was going on. But let's see. So I saw Sexy Jared. He opened a pretty good pool that was pretty good. Oh, wait. He did a play that was so cool I tweeted it on the spot. Hang on. Let me see if I can find that. I meant to pull that up before the show started. Scroll, scroll, scroll. When was the pre-release? Because looking at Twitter now, that was on the 14th. So that would be right here. Okay, so Sexy Jared traded away a creature. He had like a 3-3 and he attacked into his opponent's 3-3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who blocked. He cast... He might not have even traded. He might have just sacrificed it, essentially. He cast Sram's Expertise, which got him... What is it? 3 servos?
Yes.
3 servos and... A Renegade Rallier from hand. Ooh. Renegade Rallier is the thing with Revolt. Get something that costs 2 or less back from the graveyard to the battlefield.
It's gross.
So he did that. He got back a Countless Gears Renegade that was in the graveyard, who has a Revolt trigger of get a servo. So he lost a 3-3, spent 4 mana, and got 6 creatures. And I was like... And the next turn, he dropped a Dawnfeather Eagle, which gives all of your creatures what?
+1/+1 and vigilance until end of turn.
And he swung for 22!
That is not a small number.
He did not win that round, that turn. He won, I don't know, 2 or 3 or 4 turns later. But that put enough pressure on his opponent to where it was gonna be real hard to come back. And he didn't. So Jared just took that one. Like, I was blown away.
I think so was this opponent. Game is mine, right? You're holding on to this game for me? I'll just take it now.
Yeah, right? But that is the one play I saw all day that made me go,
Can I brag about one of my plays? Is that a thing?
I guess you can.
Once Jerry stops not? Dying?
No dying. Sorry. Okay. There's only one rule.
So I actually, this wasn't my play. I saw this play. A guy goes, Felidar Guardian, you know, cat beast.
Yep.
Blink, my Renegade Rallier. Oh, hey, look, Revolt. Return this hidden herbalist from the graveyard to the battlefield. Add green, green.
Yep.
Cast this Green Wheel Liberator, which is a 4-3. is this okay? Did we do it?
Are we good? I think we're good.
We did it, Reddit.
That seems pretty good.
I like
it was, as you say, quite impressive.
Yeah. But let's see, what else? I also went to see Andrew, hey buddy, who opened a smuggler's copter, which I thought was pretty funny. His vehicles were actually sick. He had a smuggler's copter, the one that attacks twice and then it blows up and you draw 2 cards?
Yeah, right. Daredevil something.
The Dragster. Daredevil Dragster?
That's the one.
And he had, oh god, was it Heart of Care? He had another one of the really solid ones. Hang on, let's see here. Subtype. I'll know it if I see it. But he had Harvester? 3. The Harvester.
That card's silly.
The one that gives itself lifelink.
No.
Oh, blah, blah.
I think, was it the Crazy Train? It might have been one of the trains.
Yeah.
The trains are all good, so.
Oh, yeah. Crazy Train's actually better than Pain Train.
Yeah, it was either the Renegade Freighter or the Untethered Express. I can't remember which. But he also had the Peacewalker Colossus. He had the remote start to go with it. And I was like, good lord. And there was one game that I saw. This was a problem. Like, it's not like he was overloaded on vehicles. Those were the ones he had. And I'm pretty sure that's right. I know the copter and the remote start and the dragster are all right. But at one point he had like three of those out and could not draw a pilot to save his ass. Literally to save his ass. I was like, dude, that sucks. It might have been a Heart of Kieran now that I'm looking at it. I honestly can't remember. But damn. And I'm sure there was some sort of sick play that I saw him do that it wasn't sick enough to stick with me, because this was like three rounds later and I was tired. But, oh well. But all in all, it looked like, from the few games I saw, that white is just insane and limited in this set.
Mm-hmm.
And that Revolt, if you can get it to trigger, is ridiculous. And if you can't get it to trigger, then you just play dudes. Like, it's fine. And vehicles are still completely stupid.
Especially if you have the remote start.
Yeah.
I actually think that deck might be standard playable.
No, it was only 40 cards. You're welcome, Judge. But, so yeah, that's what little bit I remember from, because I wasn't, you know, playing and I wasn't taking notes or anything. I was just sort of casually watching. I saw a lot of ground stalls of people with just a crap load of creatures on both sides of the board, but then that happens at pre-releases anyway.
Yeah.
I heard of several people dying to the free jam regent.
That card is just you, and you're going to get every single copy that anyone ever opens.
Eh, don't send them to me. I don't want them. jam! Send me actual jam. I don't have toast. Never mind, don't do that. But I remember black removal. Like, even some of the simple ones, you know, the thing, play this dude and the thing gets -1/-1 or whatever that one is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That one was just everywhere and was just destroying everybody's deck.
There were a lot of
three. I saw a play that someone missed with that guy, where they could have played him and given himself -1/-1 and totally wrecked their opponent with a revolt thing they had in their hand.
Yeah, that's also one of the reasons it's in the set.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. So yeah, since I didn't actually play and I don't have much else to say, I'll turn it over to you guys. Who wants to go first?
Well, I can go first simply because mine was the shortest. I know Chris said that his was also three rounds, but he also did six of them. And he's written an article about it and all that good stuff. So I'll try and keep mine pretty quick. So I was going to try and go to Gaming Underground, which is a great store in North Carolina, and it worked out that I was not going to have we were having certain things delivered on Saturday, and there was not going to be a good way to do that. So I ended up going to the 6:30 at House of Cards, and I got there and True was like, okay, I'm in the middle of heading out, but you can go out and walk me to my car, because I had called ahead to make sure that there were spots, and they had two spots left when I called. And I put my name in, and they said, as long as I'm there 10 minutes before the event starts, I'm fine. I showed up 15 minutes before it started at 6:15, paid my money. Somebody else was like, oh, yeah, can I get on that? And they're like, no, we're full. So, but the previous one was running a little long. They said we had another half an hour. So I was walking Chewy out, and he was telling me the epic tale of the chair. And then by the time he was done with that and I kept interrupting and putting in my own stories and whatnot, I was like, okay, well, I should probably be going back in. It's almost time for that to start. And he's like, oh, yeah, I never said bye to Jared. Let me just walk in with you. So he walked in, and he was talking to everybody. And then they're like, all right, you know, when I call your name, come get your pack. Don't open it yet. I grabbed it. I sit down. Chewy's still there. He's like, well, I'll see what you get. And then I'm like, okay. So I open my stuff, which I'll get to in just a second. And then I go ahead and assemble my deck, and I was showing it to Chewy. I was like, of course I'm not asking what should I play, but I said, this is what I'm thinking about playing. And I let him look at it when I was done. And then he's like, all right, well, I'm probably going to head out soon, because I got a pork chop waiting at home. So, okay, sweet. First round pairings go up, and it's against Adam. And I'm asking everybody, where's Adam? This is not, I don't know how many players were in this, but it was not a huge amount of players. They were going to cap it at 3 rounds. I go up to the store owner and, or the guy that was running the, term. I don't know if that was that Will?
No, that was Josh.
Josh. Okay. I go up to Josh. I'm like, hey, do you know who this guy is? He's like, oh yeah, he dropped. He just wanted his stuff. So congratulations. You've got a round one bye in a 3 round tournament. I'm like, yay. I mean, I'll take the win. So I tell Chewy, and Chewy's like, well, I guess I'll stick around while you're, you know, waiting. And I'm like, you need to go home and eat. He's like, nah, it's cool. So Chewy stuck around for about another hour. It was like 8:30 before you left. It was after 8:30 when you left. I hope you went home and ate that the heck out of that pork chop. Was it still good?
Oh yeah, dude. I ate. I mean, it was in the fridge. So yeah, it was.
Did you eat through the fridge to get to it?
I thought about it.
Okay.
It was pork chop dinner, man. But yeah, Brian and I stood around with Andrew and I think Robert was in on some of that. And and Carl came over and we just had a big like circular discussion of us, whatever, anything we could think of. And it was awesome. I didn't even notice that I stayed an extra hour.
Yeah, we were having a really good time. I got to admit, and it was nice that he was still there. So when I opened up my packs, getting back to it, my pre-release foil was Mechanized Productions.
Yes.
I'm like, that's such a great card. And, Jared, Sexy Jared was like, be careful with blue. I said, before we even opened these, I'm like, is there anything you want to tell me since you've done at least one of these? He's like, don't play blue unless it is the most amazing stuff. Don't play blue. So I opened that and I'm like, okay. And I'm looking through and I'm like, I don't know what I would put it on. So I'm like, it looks like a neat card, but, and then another one of my rares was Barrel's Expertise, which is, I mean, come on. But they're both double blue, and I'm looking through the rest, and I'm like, there's no good creatures in my blue. None whatsoever. There's maybe one or two, like a Windrake and a High Tide Hermit. And then really that's it. And like two negates.
Yay.
And the only form of removal I even had was one copy of Taken to Custody, which is the tap target creature doesn't untap during its controls next untap step as an instant. Usually that effect you want to see on with something else. So I'm like, I'm looking at it and I'm like, no. Black was also pretty lackluster. I actually had less black cards than blue cards. And I had one Daring Demolition, which is the destroy target creature or vehicle for 4 mana, which is pretty good. And one Make Obsolete, the creatures your opponents control get -1/-1 until end of turn. And once again, the creatures were, I actually had 4 black creatures. That's it. Amal Fist Squad, a Dahoon Operative, an Ambitious Aetherborn, and another Amal Fist Squad. That's it. So I was looking at it. I'm like, can probably set it to the side for now, see if I want to splash. Red was okay and had no burn. And I'm like, okay, so you probably want me to play red-white. Oh, I'm sorry. There was one Fateful Showdown, which is right. Conditional at best.
Yeah.
Whereas in white, the deck ended up being white-red. White-red? No, white-green. Hello.
I was going to say what?
What? In part because of the Oath of Ajani that I got, which was also backed up in the creatures with the Ridge Scale Tusker, which is the when it enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each other creature you control. So I had a nice little theme there going. So just real quick, you don't need to hear every creature, but in creatures in white, I've got Shram, Senior Edificer. I've got a Restoration Specialist. This guy was really good. For one and a white, he's a 2/1 Dwarf Artificer. It's uncommon. And you can pay a white and sacrifice him to return up to one target artifact card and up to one target enchantment card from your graveyard to your hand, which is really good. And it sets up Revolt, and it's really nice. Couple decent artifacts. I got a ton of artifacts. I know that it's an artifact set, but still. Workshop Assistant, a Reservoir Walker, you know, when it comes in, gain 3 life and 3 energy. A Treasure Keeper, which is kind of the reverse Bloodbraid Elf kind of thing. I already mentioned the Ridge Scale Tusker, Felidar Govern, Guardian Blink Cat, Deadeye Harpooner, which is the Revolt Destroy Tap Creature, which I actually never got to go off. Pima Outrider, who is still just as good as he was in Kaladesh Limited, especially for a common. Two Silkweaver Elites, which are the 2-2 reach with Revolt, they're a cantrip. So, yeah, some decent stuff in creatures. I don't know if there's anything that's outstanding except for the Ridge Scale Tusker. I will note that my curve ended at 5, so it was fairly low, and it was just play a bunch of dudes, try and put +1/+1 counters. Then the non-creatures, check this out. And if you want to talk about removal, you've got Caught in the Brights, which is really good. You've got Decommission, the Destroy Artifact or Enchantment, and Revolt, you gain 3 life, which is important sometimes. And to Hunt the Weak. And then in pumping, I've got the Oath of Ajani, an Unbridled Growth. Well, that's not actually a pump, but hey, I had it in there. High Spire Infusion. And then in vehicles, an Untethered Express. That's the crazy train, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's the one that went off the rails.
I look at it, I go, it's the Triceratops train. So.
Yeah, the other thing that yes. I heard it called all day was Dinosaur Train.
Yeah. And then this one card, am I reading this right?
No, it was you that had the Heart of Kieran. Yeah. Somebody did.
Heart of Kieran. So yeah, just some really solid stuff. There wasn't one spell I feel like in my deck that was just like, and I win. Unless I had some setup, you know, I didn't have like the one big creature or anything. Again, my curve stopped pretty early, but just lots of really solid stuff. And some things like the Heart and the Train, where if they went unanswered, I would just win. So round one, I won against, actually, I think it was Adam or Alex or somebody. I don't know because they didn't play. So I won playing against nobody. I won talking to Chewy. What's going on with my voice? Round two, I played against Daniel. He was playing black green. And the funny thing was, you know, he had one of those constrictors that doesn't really constrict. And I was looking at it this whole time going, and I'm thinking, and he also had the Ridge Scale Tusker, and he had the, Verdant Automaton, which I also had one of those in my deck. I only played it like one time, but I'm thinking in my head, dude, I've got all these effects too. I just wish I had your snake. And he's like pumping up a whole lot. And I'm like, I lost the game one, and I'm not trying to be, mean spirited or anything. It literally felt like he had the perfect answer to everything I played. I felt like I had a decent curve. I was like 2-drop, 3-drop, 4-drop. And I would play things and they would die. And so I tried mixing up my threats. And played the Heart of Kieran. And he's like, okay, put that in the, destroy that. I'm like, I played the Bloodbraid Elf gentleman, Treasure Keeper. And he's like, okay, play the green spell to put that on the bottom of your library. I'm like, really? So he was playing extremely well, extremely well. It was frustrating for me because it literally felt like he had the answer to everything that he needed right there. But that just means that he built his deck well, and ultimately I got pretty crushed. I don't I'm looking at the score sheet here. Yeah, I didn't hurt him that time. So I won game two. I have my notes largely due to playing the I was just curving well. This time he wasn't able to blow up my stuff. I played the Ridge Scale Tusker to pump up my guys, and then followed it up with an Oath of Ajani. And he couldn't come back from that because I'm just like, slam you in the face. It's funny how that works. The deck did exactly what it wanted to do. And then game three is incredibly close. And this is one of the most fun, intense games I've ever played, at least until the next round. But I got an early Heart of Kieran, and I have here that I was at 1 life. There may have been one turn there where he might have missed lethal because he played Gonti, the legend from Kaladesh, and he did not then crew something. Most of the game, he got a very early lead, and I was sacrificing my life total to get more resources on board because he had like a death touch guy and some other things. So I was at a very low life total. I was literally counting, like making sure that I had blockers, because if one thing got through, I was probably dead. But it was very, very back and forth. And then ultimately Heart of Kieran, I think, kind of sealed the deal for me like it does. But really it was also just trying to outpace him, with removal. At one point I sacrificed, I attacked with a, train, which then caused the creature that was exiled by Caught in the Brights to be exiled. And then after that, sacrificed my restoration specialist to get back an artifact and Caught in the Brights. So, yeah, pretty good stuff. I forgot to mention I had a Toolcraft exemplar, the one drop that at the beginning of your combat step, if you've got an artifact, it's a 3-2, which, by the way, is just enough to crew a crazy train. So that's all.
Pain train. Crazy train's crew one.
Yeah.
Right. Crazy train. Triceratops train. The one I had. I had six vehicles in my pool. I didn't actually talk about my pool because we've got other stuff to talk about. But I had like a ton. I had a Consulate Dreadnought, which I just didn't know if I could really make it work all the time. I didn't have any of the enchantments to turn on forever. I had I had two Iron Tread Crushers. The 6/6 for 4 and crew 3 and a sky skiff. And I just said, I thought that the Triceratops train and the heart were just the best ones. But so anyway, so I ended up winning. It was incredibly close the whole time. I thought, wow, that's pretty good. I can't get much better than that. And then in round 3, I played against John, who's a listener. Hey, John. And, he plays, white and red. And game 1, honestly, he's mana screwed. He mulled down to, I think, 6. And when he scryed, he put the card on bottom. Turned out he kept a one-land hand with a ton of stuff to do it to. You know how this goes. But I get it. I go turn 1 exemplar. Didn't have a turn 2, but a turn 3 artifact. I believe it was just the it might have been the Chief of the Foundry that was in my deck. Yeah, my deck, the more I look at it, the more I'm like, yeah, my deck was really good. And then a turn 4 Outrider, Pima Outrider, getting a servo and just like smashing in. And then, eventually I get out the Blink Cat and blink the Outrider, which means I now have 3 artifacts. And I'm eventually he gets another land, but it's too late. I've got too many creatures. In my notes, game 2 is in freaking sane. I even wrote that. He's actually got a ton of resources. Our life totals are both going down at a pretty rapid rate. The board, like Chu was talking about, you see these really clumped boards. We had a lot of stuff going on the ground. I actually managed to stabilize and the Heart of the Kieran is getting there. This is another one where I'm counting a lot. Like, how many blockers do I have? How many creatures does he have? And actually, and the heart is getting in there. I'm just crewing it every turn. Earlier, he had played, there's a red spell that's modal and you choose to either destroy an artifact or creatures without flying can't block this turn.
Yep.
Yeah, I know you're familiar with it. Really, really good. He played one earlier and he said, is that game? And he crewed up his Untethered Express. And I said, in response, because something else had, I don't think I even had, Revolt, but I played the, decommission to destroy it. So this whole time I've been at 3 life thanks to that, but I'm still alive. Turned out he had a second copy. So we're going. I'm getting there and he's like, oh, look, your stuff can't block. And my math doesn't matter anymore because I'm dead. But that was a long game. It was incredibly fun and I was okay with that. And I'm like, we're both like, we hope that game 3 is a lot more like game 2 than game 1 because that was really interesting. And game 3 is even more back and forth. He has a train. I kill it. I play a train. He kills my train.
Dang it, man.
I eventually get out a heart and then crew it up and play an oath. Yeah. And he eventually, spends one of his, that same card to with the modal spell to destroy it. Cause he's like, he cannot let me have it. And I, once again, this time I'm able to sacrifice the restoration specialist to get back the, Caught in the Brights and a heart, which seems really good. And then, but he's able to stabilize a little bit and he gets out Multiform Wonder. And I'm like, yeah, that's a really good card. And then next turn he untaps, he plays, his second copy of the spell. So my non-flyers can't block. I'm like, okay, I'm at 11 life. And he's like, yep, pump the Multiform Wonder, attack with it and these two other guys for exactly 11. I look down, I'm looking at my hand and I was like, man, that was an amazing round of Magic. It really was. I have no regrets whatsoever. I felt like I played extremely well. I think he played extraordinarily well. I think both of us, there were a lot of plays. There was one point where I literally used decommission in that last game to blow up his servo token, which is the only reason I was at 11 life instead of 8, which made a huge difference. Plus it then I think turned on something else. So, and it allowed me to be a little more aggressive. So it was a lot, it was a game you heard about, like games on the margins or by the margins where little plays matter. I felt like we were right there. So congratulations, John. I was 2-1 thanks to the buy. I got 3 packs and prizes in those packs, no mythics, but I did get another Barrel's Expertise. So I've got 2 of those. And then in the other 2, oh, Sam organized these. So the other 2 should be right here. The other 2, before I take too long with this, come on. The other two were pretty good, but I felt like the Barrel's Expertise was definitely the one that I was most interested in those. So I'm halfway there. And I, even though I didn't play with it, I'm still convinced that it is a really, really, really good card. Oh, I got a Yhini, Undying Partisan, and Sam, where is it gone? I'm not blaming my daughter, but geez, where is it gone? Brian's taking too long.
Check the fridge. Maybe she organized it into the fridge.
With your pork chop?
No, I ate that.
By all accounts, I should have. Oh, a scrap trawler.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So sweet. I had a great time. I was a little bummed that I didn't get to actually play with Chewy, but I got to see him. I got to see Jared, got to see some other people. And I had a fantastic time. My pool was not terrible. I got a mythic, which longtime listeners know that for all, like, literally like 2 years, if I would go to a pre-release, even if I went to like 2 or 3 pre-releases, no joke, in a weekend, no mythics. And then there was the time I went to one and got like 4. So I broke it. But some good stuff. And I had a fantastic time and I am very eager to hear what these other guys, Bimbos, whatnot, did for theirs.
I'm sorry. Did you just say Bimbos?
Yeah. I think he meant you because he didn't want to say.
It's okay if I use the word. It's not okay if other people use the word.
Right. You better go ahead, Mike. I might be a while.
All right. That's fine. So as I said before, I went down to the Toy Factory in Hillsboro. It was good to see John. There were a couple other people there I recognized and was able to say hey to and catch up with a little bit. My pre-release promo was Baral's Expertise. So I'm like, oh, wow, this could be really awesome if I get good blue. But I didn't get good blue. There were some single cards in that color that I was like, oh, I would like to play with this, but like none of the other creatures or spells that I opened in blue made it worth it.
And that was my experience entirely. So yeah. At least you were smart enough to recognize it.
Yeah. So I had everything sorted out and the black and the white looked the best. Green, I think I probably could have done something with green if I had spent more time thinking about it, but it was, for some reason, it was just taking me a really long time to make my decisions for deck building.
It's because you didn't have me there to go, dude, hurry up. I need help. What are you doing? Build your deck so you can build my deck.
Yeah, that might be part of it.
Hey.
But also, also part of the reason it took extra long was because I saw an opportunity to do something kind of weird and very silly, and I was agonizing over whether or not to actually try it.
Always
and I
try
did.
It.
Yeah, I did. So my deck was black and white, and I splashed 2 blue cards and 1 red card.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Because part
Wait,
of what
say,
I...
Say that again. Your deck was what?
It was black and white, and I splashed 2 blue cards and 1 red card.
Right. All right, then. I thought that's what I heard, but I was like, surely Mike didn't.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And the only game in all five rounds, the only game I was mana screwed was the one where I didn't draw a plains until turn five. So.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so hold on. Was this deck 40 cards?
Yes. Well, it started out 45, but someone helped me later. Someone helped me later and I was able to cut it to 40.
Oh my god.
Without cutting a color.
Right.
Nice.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so.
This is why Mike should not be allowed to pre-release by himself.
So the one red card I splashed was Unlicensed Disintegration, because it's just so good.
Ooh.
And the two blue cards I splashed were two copies of Bastion Inventor. That's the 4/4 with Hexproof and Improvise that cost 6, 5 and a blue.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. 4/4 with Hexproof is pretty good, and I wanted to try it out, and I think it paid off. And the reason I was able to do that with all the weird colors was because I had a Cultivator's Caravan, and I had two Renegade maps. So It was going to be extra easy for me to find the off-color lands. You know, I'd had two islands and one mountain in the deck, and things just worked out. But yeah, I ended up with some good removal to back me up. There was the Unlicensed Disintegration, and there was I had a Daring Demolition. That's the one that can destroy a creature or a vehicle. And
Mike?
Okay, glad that wasn't just me.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that me?
Did he do his dropping off the – he? Do you think he knows that we can't hear him?
I mean, he does now.
Yeah. Mike, we're interrupting you. Typing. Okay, good.
Yeah, he said, now I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
This happens to Mike every once in a while. Yeah. I think this happened, what, twice last episode? It's very strange.
Maybe it's we have no idea what hour or so. So, all right, we got to keep episodes to 45 minutes now.
Yeah, I will believe that when it happens. So, never. Man, I wouldn't know what to do with a 45-minute mana pool episode.
I mean, listen to it while you're pooping.
What
and then
the
find
hell?
Something else. Find something else to listen to finish it off.
I'm not quite sure how to take that.
Freaking damn it!
You are.
Oh, we can hear you now.
Okay, good.
All right, so you were saying.
I was saying, I can't remember what I was saying.
I honestly can't either because I was
talking about
long waiting.
You didn't get the only time you got mana screwed was when you didn't draw planes until turn five.
Well, that was a while ago. Oh, I think I was talking about the removal. I had some pretty good
removal package
to back me up. Yeah, I had the Unlicensed Disintegration
and
a Daring Demolition and Caught in the Brights, which was very helpful. There was one game where I put a Caught in the Brights on one of my opponent's guys, and he used it to, you know, at some point, crew a vehicle, because he can. And he made a comment. It's like, yeah, it's not exactly revoke privileges. And then I had the mental image of someone, you know, terrified, you know, standing stock still in the bright light and jumping into a train and driving off, you know, while they're horrified.
But while they're in the train, they can still die.
Yeah. But, so Cultivator's Caravan, that was one of the rares I got to play. One of the other ones that I got to play was Peacewalker Colossus. I ended up putting I had an Iron Tredge Crusher to go with them. That was the other 6/6 that Brian was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And one of the extra cards when it was still 45 was a Sky Skiff, but later the person who I got advice from was able to convince me that it wasn't all that necessary with what I had going on. So I just had the three vehicles at the end, but still Peacewalker Colossus alongside either one of those others is just fantastic. And the other rare that ended up in my deck was Yeheni, Undying Partisan.
Oh, how good was she? I never got a chance to play her.
I think she only showed up in three games, and for two of them, it was at a bad time, and she just immediately ate a removal spell, and I couldn't save her. But the third one, she started accumulating counters and took over the board.
Nice.
Yeah, the card looked good, but it was in the same pool as a bunch of other stuff, and I didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what my other rares were. So Yeheni, Peacewalker Colossus. Oh, I got that crazy red artifact polymorphing thing.
Madcap Experiment?
Yeah, Madcap. No.
No.
The new one. The X
Siege...
one.
Siege. Oh, the X one.
Yeah, the X one. The
oh,
X red, red, red,
red creativity.
One. Yeah, that.
That's the one.
And then I got the artifact, Lifecrafters something something, where it lets you scry at the beginning of your upkeep, then you can pay a green after you cast a creature to draw a card.
Right, right.
And I can't remember what my other Kaladesh rare was.
That's the bestiary that we were talking about last time about how it's pronounced.
Right, that's right, that's right. But yeah, so I was really glad to have those Bastion Inventors at the top end of my threats. I had a Fenhauler at the top end too. That's the 5/5 for 6 and a black with improvise that also can't be blocked by artifact creatures, which matters a lot.
Yes.
It matters a whole lot. That guy dealt a lot of damage for me over the course of the event.
Sounds good.
Yeah. But otherwise, I just had a bunch of other, you know, smaller solid creatures, an augmenting automaton. That's the automaton. That's the black automaton who can pump himself for 1 and a black. I love cards like that.
Every time someone played that game, I was like, augmenting automaton, you know, like phenomenon.
Do, 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 do.
Mana, mana.
There were just two cards with revolt triggers that ended up in my deck, but they were really good ones. There was a Vengeful Rebel, the Etherborn for 2 and a black. It's a 3/2, and its revolt is target creature and opponent controls gets -3/-3 until end of turn. So that was pretty cool. And the airdrop.
Completely sick.
Yeah. Mm. And the airdrop Aeronauts, that's the 4/3 flyer for 3/2 white, who gives you 5 life with the revolt.
Oh, that card is so stupid.
Yeah.
I have a giant threat in the air, but as if that wasn't good enough, I'm a gain 5. Is this good?
That's not good enough.
All right. Well, I don't know what to tell you, man. That's all I got.
Let's see. As for how the event went, I didn't take detailed notes. I didn't take any notes. But I do remember just from the Planeswalker Points website who I played against, and I have impressions of each round, but not a whole lot of detailed memories. I remember my first opponent, his deck looked pretty fun. It was slower. I remember seeing green and red and blue. And a couple of really cool vehicles. No, not green, red, blue. That's not right. One of them had to have been white because he also had a Peacewalker Colossus that he used to terrorize me for a little bit in one of our 3 games. But he also got the Harvester, that 3/5 flying vehicle that can give itself lifelink. And I didn't stop and think until much later about just how good it was because, you know, it costs 3. It's a 3/5 with flying and the crew cost is only 1, and it has a pretty useful activated ability. I think it was the reason I misunderstood the reason I underestimated it at first glance, I think, was because of the, you know, 3/5 is kind of derpy stats, and it makes you gain life, so I think there's a bias against cards that make you gain life being bad somehow. So maybe that's what was throwing me off. But it's really... If you just look at it as a whole, it's a really strong card. Let's see, but I don't really remember too much about the first round. The second round I played against Nick, who's also been going to the Toy Factory for a long time. Mm-hmm. So it was good to catch up with him. He had a red and white deck that was just, or was it red and black? Gosh, I am bad at this. Anyway, it was one of the combination of colors that can just get crazy fast if you get the right stuff in limited. And it was crazy fast. The first game, he just ran me over like it was nothing. I got too slow of a start and I didn't realize, you know, what he was able to build and do. And he got ahead of me and was able to press his advantage and keep it rolling.
Yeah, rolled.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
The second game was a little more even. We both had to mulligans. We were both on 6. And it was tough. It was extremely tough. There was a lot of trading back and forth. There were a lot of tight plays and, you know, complicated thinking and number crunching about combat. And the turn that I thought I was safe and I might have a chance to win the next turn, he was able to find another haste creature to surprise me and get in there and get past my blockers and take away my last few life points.
Mm.
but it was good. It was a really good game. And it was after that game that we got to talking, and he helped me, you know, identify some of the cards in my deck that could be taken out to get it back down to 40. Yeah, I took out the Sky Skiff and I took out one of the creatures that I only felt okay about after I finally got a chance to draw it and play it. Oh, there was another vehicle in there. I used to have even more vehicles because I had the Peacewalker Colossus. There was an Aradara Express in there when it was still 45 cards.
Huh.
But yeah. So I went down on five vehicles was way too much. I shouldn't have had that many.
Well, with Peacewalker Colossus, did you have either the modifications, the aerial or the siege?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that might have made it slightly less egregious, I think, but
yeah.
For some reason, anyone who opened Peacewalker Colossus at our store only opened one or two other vehicles.
Honestly.
Because they take up all the room.
Say that again?
Because they're so big, they just take up the space of the other vehicles.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Although one of the decks I wrote about today in Standard, I was talking about how if you build the vehicle deck with the modifications and start your engines in Peacewalker Colossus, you should probably also play Metalwork Colossus because you're going to be playing it for free a lot. And then I had the mental image of a Metalwork Colossus getting inside a Fleet Wheel Cruiser. I don't think that works quite the way we think it does.
I think we talked about that on the show one time when we were doing previews, maybe even for Kaladesh, the Metalwork Colossus coming down. And since he has 10 power, he's really good at being a pilot. And we just thought, you know, he sticks his thumb in the cockpit and like pushes the vehicle around making vroom vroom noises.
That is
wow. I mean, anyway.
It's a great mental image.
Yeah. So that was good. That was a good round with Nick, and he helped me improve my deck a little bit. Round three, don't remember a whole lot about it. I know that my opponent ran into pretty horrible patch of luck in game three. Yeah, I think I got game one, he got game two, and then I just kind of rolled over him in game three because he couldn't draw like anything, and that was unfortunate. The fourth round, this one stood out. I was playing against Chad, and he had built a blue-red artifact-centric deck that also had a lot of really cool energy plays in it, and he wasn't able to get any of that going in game one, any of the energy stuff. After it was over, I ended up winning game one because I ran over him. I got a really fast draw and I ran over him. And he said, believe it or not, this is an energy deck. You just didn't see any of it. And but we literally saw no energy cards in that first game. But then the second one, they started showing up. The second game went on for a very, very, very long time because we got into a board stall. He started to break it a little bit with release the gremlins that took out one of my vehicles and something else that was laying around. I can't remember what it was. You know, to improve his board and screw up mine a little bit more. And there was a point late in that game where if he had gone all out, he could have dealt me enough combat damage to win the game, and I didn't have anything to stop him. But I still had three cards in my hand, and he was still playing cautiously. I was holding like three lands at that point in the game. It was terrible. So he played cautiously that turn and made a couple of other decisions, and then I just started top decking things to keep me in it, but it was just only able to prolong the game. And that's when I also started to see some more of the energy angle of his deck. He had the module where you get an energy whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control.
The decoction module.
And he had a Whirler Virtuoso to use energy to make Thopters. And he had a Consulate Turret to use energy to make energy and to use energy to deal damage to the opponent, and a couple of other little things that could, you know, jump back and forth and help him pick up an extra energy here and there and get a nice little thing going.
Dang it.
Yeah. And all of those things really started to factor into the late game in game three. Game 3 was an extremely difficult game also. And we ended up going to time. Okay, we weren't at time yet, but it was pretty late in the game. I was just at like 6 or 7 life, and I was getting dangerously close to gone, because he was able to find a decoction module and a consulate turret. So he was slowly picking away at me. While he also had a slight advantage on the board in terms of combat, I made an attack that I was trying to bait him into killing one of my small things that I was sending in, either a servo or, you know, a random 2-2 that I was making a run with, just to make something happen so he could kill one of them so I could play the airdrop aeronauts in my hand and give myself a 5-life cushion. But he was concerned with what I might have it. He was concerned with what revolt cards I might still have in my hand or in my deck that he hadn't seen yet. Cause uh-huh. I think in game 2, he saw me play the vengeful rebel and kill something. So he could have made a really easy block to, you know, kill one of my random small things at no cost to him. But instead, he made his blocking decisions such that none of my creatures died in combat. And I'm sitting there like, damn it. You did that exactly right. Why did you do that exactly right?
Frustrating when they play properly.
Yeah, it was. And let's see. We went to turns, and on his last opportunity during the extra turns to do something, he counted up what he was able to do with attacks and his energy and his turret, and it would have only left me at 1 life. Mm. And I still had another turn to attack back. And I did end up playing the airdrop aeronauts after that combat, even though it wasn't going to trigger, because hey, 4-3 of flying, you know, why not? It's going to help me win. So yeah, he saw that I would have only been left at 1 instead of 0. So he went ahead and called it, and we were both like, whew, that was rough. Yeah, that was an exciting match. The last round I played against Bill, not the Bill we know, different Bill. And the first few plays of both of our games, we were doing like almost the same thing. Like it's his deck. As I got to see more of it, it was literally mine, except with some slightly better cards in certain places. So, you know, where I had Caught in the Brights, he had Revoke Privileges, you know, where I had you know Daring Demolition, Unlicensed Disintegration also in my removal, his was also backed up with like Tidy Conclusion and the thing where you can give something -2/-2 and scry one, you know. He had a lot of the same creatures, like we both had a Yeheni in our deck and so on and so forth, and it was a really grindy match in both games, but he ended up winning both of them. I wondered later about a mistake I made in the second one and whether or not the end game still would have played out the same way. I had 2 Defiant Salvagers on the board. That's a 2/2 for 3 who you can sacrifice an artifact or creature at sorcery speed to put a +1/+1 counter on him.
Yeah.
And he had some, you know, he had some potential blockers that were going to stand in the way. And during combat, I ended up trading away the one that was currently a 3/3 and keeping the one that was currently a 2/2, you know, and he ended up leaving him with, an empty board, I think. But then I realized I could have sacrificed the 2/2 to the one that was already a 3/3. It would have survived combat or have just gotten through, which I don't think was an option for him at that point because his life was getting low. And I would have been in a much better position after that combat. So I wondered how things would have turned out later, because some other stuff happened and we got to a point where we were both just sitting there staring at each other for a couple turns, draw go, and he was the first one to draw a new threat that was able to start putting meaningful dents in my life total. But yeah, so He won that last round. So yeah, like I said before, I ended up going 3-2. And for John's prize structure, that was enough for me to get two prize packs. And in my prize packs, I got another Peace Walker Colossus. And I got a Yeheni's Expertise, which I was happy about. Yeah.
That card is, insane.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
All the expertises, I think, are similar.
Yeah, I think they're all good, but that is definitely at the top of the heap.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I'm really glad I went out there. I don't know if I remember having like an actually negative experience at the Toy Factory. I'm sure maybe there was one random time in high school where there was a bunch of jerks hanging out, but whatever. That's long enough ago. I don't remember anymore, so it doesn't count. But yeah, it was great.
Glad you had fun.
Me too.
Yay.
Me three.
Okay, so Brian ended up 2-1?
2-1.
Mike ended up
3-2.
3-2. I knew that sounded right. I was undefeated.
You also lost every round, technically.
No, I was undefeated.
Did you ever win a round?
Yeah, I was XO, yeah.
You didn't win.
Or I was OX, you know, whichever.
You didn't win any rounds.
Yeah, I mean, I was also winless, which is a small problem. Yeah. Anyway, well then, hey Chris, in the interests of, you know, not having a 12-hour episode, how about you don't go into quite as much detail as these dorks?
There
here.
Is zero chance of me going into that much detail. I did not. Good. I'm going to go through highlights of my pulls and my pools and some cool plays, and that's about it. That sound excellent. Reasonable?
Sounds brilliant.
Okay, so I did all six.
And that's all the time we have for you today, folks. Hope you enjoyed the mana pool. Yeah, that sounds great, Chris.
No, you're not sorry at all. Don't
no, me. Not sorry.
So, started off at midnight. My pool was completely unexciting. Opened zero mythics. My promo was the Blue Whale. The more I saw that card, the more I think it's just actually standard playable.
I saw someone who had a, who was looping it with something else.
I mean, you don't even have to loop it. The card loops itself. It gives you enough energy to bounce it and more besides. So the card's good, but my blue, this is going to be a common thread, was not good enough to support it, and I didn't really want to play it. It's kind of a boring card. It doesn't really do anything cool. And my pre-releases, I am all about doing cool things. I want to have fun, find out what the new cards can do, and see how much busted nonsense I can do.
Well, especially when you play in several, you know, you want them to be a unique experience.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I don't even remember what colors I played at midnight. I know I went 2-1, and I know in the last round I beat a guy who had double barrels expertise.
Who?
Because that's fair. But he casted in both games against me, and he either didn't have anything effective to follow up with, or my board was such that it was easy for me to recover. So I think that was the fairly aggressive 2 and 3 drop curve out deck. I know Saturday morning I had the black green winding constrictor deck. And, that snake is a very powerful card, my friends.
Oh yeah.
Don't ever play it in modern. Cause, infect is a counter that goes on a player. So it will kill you twice as fast.
Oh wow.
Yeah. That's how that works.
Yeah. Let's not do that.
It is a silly place.
Yeah.
That was also the first pre-release where I played Walking Ballista. So a lot of people, when that card came out, were complaining because it isn't Hangerback Walker. And they're right. It isn't Hangerback Walker. It doesn't actually need to be. It's still really, really good.
It's Triskelion Plus.
Turns out free pinging. Yeah, that's a thing.
I like it.
Triskelion doesn't reload itself, does it?
No, it does not.
Nope.
It's just it comes in with 4. Is it 3 or 4?
Comes in with 3.
Comes in with 3, and then when it's done, it's done. Play a new copy if you want any more.
Yeah, or just continuously ping itself with Micaeus the Lunarch and play.
Or Vampire, Methodros Vampire, blah, 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 blah.
Et cetera. But yeah, so
it's good, right?
The card's very good. It was also a lot of fun to play with because there are times where the correct play is just to cast it and keep reloading its counters.
Cool. It's 4 to reload, right?
Yeah. And then, so you just keep picking off things. And then once you hit 8 mana, you can pick off larger things. And excuse me, eventually they're going to miss and you're going to have more time to, you know, attack and deal damage. But yeah, that card, it does take over games, and it was a lot of fun to play with. Not as much fun as Mechanized Production. So I think I sent Chewy both of these pictures of me playing with Mechanized Production.
You said you'd never tell him. Oh, those pictures. Right. I mean,
we're not talking about the pictures I sent you last night.
Oh, damn.
So Mechanized Production is the blue 2 enchants an artifact and makes a copy of it in your upkeep. And then if you have 8 artifacts with the same name, you win the game.
Like, sir, let's hook it.
So, yeah. So the in the first game, I put it on a treasure hunter.
So,
or treasure keeper, I should say.
Oh, treasure. Okay, nice. Treasure keeper. So, well, it has to be an artifact. So,
yeah, because Free Cascade is quite good. But then he decided to try and kill it. So I sacrificed my restoration thingy to get it back because it's an enchantment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put it on Aetherflux Reservoir, and then he conceded.
That's great.
I also put it on a servo, and I won with the servo. And then the next round, I actually did put it on Aetherflux Reservoir and ended up with 6 copies of it in play when I was able to draw SRAM's expertise, cast 3 spells in one turn, gain 60 life, and Death Star them out of the game.
Yeah.
And I even said, like, I don't actually care if I ever win another game this weekend. My day is made. Like, how do you beat that?
You said you want, you like to play, like, fun decks and decks that do interesting things. Well, that's got to be at the top of the list.
That's easily the most fun play I've ever had. Like, that particular game was.
Yeah, were they the good? Fun. Was your opponent a good sport about it?
Oh yeah, he could have conceded. He knew he had no way through.
Oh right, right. But he wasn't like grumbling, like errors.
No, he was laughing his head off.
Okay, good. That's what you want.
Because he knew he had no way out. I had a bunch of guys with big butts. I had a lot of the eel that blocks for days, and the 0/4 flash that whenever you block, you get an energy counter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just sitting there behind a wall of 0/4s and 0/5. Just quietly making copies. And yeah, it was hilarious. What else do we? Two-Headed Giant is my favorite part of pre-release weekend, I think. Because it's just a format that we don't get to play very often.
Yeah.
And it lends itself to some really disgusting situations. We had Efficient Construction. I had 2 of those in one of my Two-Headed Giant decks. That's the one that whenever you cast an artifact spell, you get a Thopter.
Right.
And so I had 2 of those, and I was playing like Consulate Skygate, more different Consulate Skygate, and just completely wrecking face. Because that card, you just keep making an army of Thopters over and over and over.
Yeah, I definitely had my eye on that one as a, don't know if this card is like busted, but still really, really good card. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not busted, but. No. You know, like anything, you put it in the right deck, and it's going to win you some games.
Yes.
And I think I may have found the right deck for it, but you know, I think people in Limited tend to get the wrong idea of what makes a good card. Yes, there are some cards that are not very good, but any card can be playable in the right deck.
Like, yes.
For example, most of the time you're not going to want to play Ornithopter. But if you have the deck that wants to play a lot of artifacts for cheap, then Ornithopter is probably one of your best bets.
Mm. Hell yeah, Shrapnel Blast.
it can block a servo token forever. So, which is not, again, like you said, it's not to say, oh, it goes in every deck. But the one that wants it, wants it.
Yeah. I mean, nothing goes in every, well, I guess like Walking Ballista goes in every deck. Aethersphere Harvester really impressed me. That's the 3/5 flying vehicle crew 2 that gives itself lifelink.
Mm. It was crew 2? I thought it was crew 1 for some reason.
You might be right. It might be crew 1. After 18 rounds, they kind of meld into themselves.
Gatherer.
Metallic Mimic as well did a lot of work over the weekend.
Aethersphere Harvester is crew 1, yes.
Just for some reason, the 2-1 for 2 it doesn't seem like it should be that good, especially in limited where you're probably not going to get what's the word I'm looking for? Critical mass, there we go, of one creature type. But it's surprisingly easy to do. There are a lot of elves, there are a lot of humans. Even naming Servo or Thopter can be pretty disgusting. So, that was a lot of fun, the deck with the Mimic in it. Also, did you notice how much Double Strike is in this set?
Dude, that white creature, man.
Yeah, it did seem like more than usual.
That thing gets out of control in a hurry. But Scrapper Champion, I believe, is a common. That's the 4-mana, 2/2 Double Strike. It's an uncommon. It gives you 2 energy, and then when you attack, you can pay the 2 energy to give it a +1/+1 counter. So that card, I mean, it doesn't seem unbeatable, and it isn't, but 2/2 Double Strikes are really good.
Yeah.
And when you can make them even bigger, I know one guy had 3 of those in his 2-headed giant pool, and he had a giant spectacle on it, and it was just, things got very silly. Giant Spectacle, there's a funny name. I found Hungry Flames to be very good. 3-mana, deal 3 to a creature and 2 to the controller.
Mm-hmm.
Is it three to a creature and 2 to the controller, or?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay. It's the opposite of Searing Blood.
Right. Okay.
That card was surprisingly good. I mean, it's so
target
far away.
Player. To target yeah. player. Only bringing it up for multiplayer purposes. So.
Sure, that's true.
Okay, but anyway, go ahead.
It's surprise. It's a shame that, you know, we used to have Lightning Bolt and how good Lightning Bolt was, and now we have to make do with this card because it's the best we have, basically. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I found that to be impressive. Obviously, the Crazy Train was very good. I'm just scrolling through my article right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Renegade. Oh, Rishkar's Expertise. Yeah. Okay. So this card, I'm playing in round 3. So it's the last round. We're both 1-1. We both really want the extra pack because I think both of us felt our decks were better than a 2-1 or than a 1-2 deck, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Everybody's had that feeling. So
yeah. So yeah, this deck is way better than 1. So. This deck, the deck I'm playing has Yeheni's Expertise in it. So my opponent comes out of the gates really quickly. My first play is like the black implement. I make him discard a card and he has a whole bunch of X2s and X3s. And I'm just sitting there looking at the 0 lands in my hand and the Yeheni's Expertise. And I'm just like, come on, fourth land.
Come on.
So I hit the fourth land, slam the Yeheni's. He's like, yeah, well, I guess I'm not playing around that. Sweeps up his permanence. I put the Defiant Salvager into play. Not a great follow-up, but, I mean, it's free. What are you going to do, say no?
Right.
So he follows up with a 2-1 artifact guy, the guy that pay 4 to ping.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking, Okay, well, I'm not attacking into that because I'm still on low life, and he can just race me, and I don't win this race. So I pass the turn with all my mana up. So he puts a Giant Spectacle on it. And I'm like, okay, this is going to kill me. But I look at my hand and I have appetite for the unnatural. So, okay, I'll wait for him to attack and then I'll blow it up. But he doesn't attack, does he? No, he casts Rishkar's Expertise. So that's his only creature. So I go, in response, blow up your only creature.
Oh.
he just scooped and walked out. Oh, that was gross. So friends. Rishkar's Expertise, very swingy.
Very, very swingy, but you gotta have something good to use with it. So, which most of the time is not a problem.
No, exactly. And I mean, drawing 3 cards and playing something for free is generally enough.
Yeah. But if you had not had that.
I might have been in trouble.
He would have drawn.
Might have been.
He would have drawn how many cards?
4? Question mark?
And then gotten a free spell.
Is that good? I feel like that might be good.
I feel like that might be good. I mean, I'm not an expert, but.
You're not a number scientist?
No, I leave that to my wife.
Is your wife an actual math magician?
She's actually yeah. She's a CPA, so yes.
Ah! Also known as my mortal enemy.
I'll be sure to let her know.
Well. I mean, I doubt
one step short of an actuary, let's put it that way. So,
well,
an actuary. Actuaries are like live and breathe numbers.
Oh, I know.
Hey, Mike, screw you and your math degree.
I only mostly use it. It's fine.
Odd numbers, great. But they're math is good. Hard.
Math is hard. There's a running joke in law school. You're not here for your math skills. If you were, you'd be a doctor or something else. I don't know. It made sense at the time. Everybody just laughed and said, yeah.
Did it, Brian? Did it really? I don't think it did, Brian.
No, it did because we all terrible at math. Sense.
Oh, man. What else did we see at the pre-release? I saw one guy. Oh, one woman in the midnight pre-release opened Chrome Mox, Foil Chandra, and a regular Ajani.
Good night, everybody.
Gosh.
She was not unhappy with her pulls.
No.
Right?
I mean, I was quite jealous, but.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't help that. That's a perfectly natural reaction. You don't want to, like, you don't want to be a jerk about it, but geez, that's lucky.
Oh, no, you don't want to be a jerk about it. You just say, oh man, that's really sweet. Lucky you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But there's a little part of you that's like, man, I'd love to have that too.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But, you know, good for her.
Yep.
In general, I think this set is going to be a lot of fun.
What was your favorite card to play from Aether Revolt?
Mechanized Production, not even close. Okay.
I figured from the stories you were telling.
Yeah. Like,
and was there one card that you felt was really frustrating to play against where maybe a common or uncommon where every time you saw it, you were...
It's a good question. Let me think about this. I think the amount of white exiling or locking down removal in the block is a little excessive because you have Called in the Brights, you have Thopter to Arrest, you have Revoke Privileges.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there another one that I'm forgetting?
Probably. There's an O-ring, right?
Thopter to Arrest.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Thank you.
But there's the one on the creature too. The
Fairgrounds Warden.
Yeah.
Which is a 1/4, by the way.
Yeah.
Really? Dang.
Yeah.
That dodges a lot of removal, doesn't it?
That's the problem, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really hard to deal with.
Yeah.
I thought it was a 1/3. I should have put it in my deck.
You might be right, but... Fairgrounds Warden. I love how Google now shows you magic images. It is a 1/3. Every now and then I get things wrong.
Wait, did he just admit that on a podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, I came on the podcast. That's one thing I got wrong today.
See?
Love you, Chewy.
Mwah.
Yeah, so great weekend. I mean, pre-releases are the best time to play Magic.
Hell yeah.
They're going to be great. What else did I see? I told you about the Renegade Rallyer play, didn't I? I think I mentioned that. Where the guy goes rallier, he blinks his rallier and then gets back Hidden Herbalist and plays Green Whale Liberator.
Yeah, you did. You told us about that earlier. So yeah.
Yeah, that was some value right there.
What do you think of the Herbalist?
I actually didn't get a chance to play it. It looks good. I mean, it's free mana. I have an idea for a combo deck with it in Modern. But I always have an idea for a combo deck because
I was about to say.
But I don't know actually how good it is in standard, which is where most people play, I know. I mean, in multiplayer, I would imagine you got that, you got Priest of Gix, you've got Priest of Urabrask, Burning Tree, Shaman, Emissary, I always get that wrong. A whole bunch of creatures that just give you mana when you play them. There's got to be something fun you can do with that.
Mm.
Fun is good. I like fun.
I like fun too.
Chewy, do you like fun?
Yeah, it's all right.
It's a little overrated sometimes. You know what's not overrated is Mad Libs, but no, Chris doesn't get to do Mad Libs. Talk about pre-releases. I love pre-releases, though. It's great. Just
maybe, maybe next week we can do a Mad Lib with Chris.
Ah, you. I won't be here next week.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's do 3.
But yeah, I think still my favorite part of the weekend was Two-Headed.
Cool.
Playing Two-Headed Giant, you get to do so many dumb things. And it's almost never correct to play first because you get 2 extra cards when you draw first. And all the cards that say each opponent get better. Do you guys even get two-headed giant at your pre-releases? Do the stores run them?
Some of them do, like, yeah, their last pre-release on Sunday.
It depends on the store.
Enough product left.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one, we were told, and I heard from both the stores that I was looking at going to, that they expected to be short on product. Part of it was the popularity of the set, and part of it was because one of the local big stores closed. That meant that the players that were going to go there went everywhere else. So a couple people, Chewy, actually, after you left, were talking to Jared and said, hey, we don't see you here. And every time he would say, I came because Chewy came. So just wanted to let you know that.
He's so
sorry,
sweet.
Jared. I spoiled his...
Oh, Chewy, never change.
Yeah, he won't.
Yeah, they've been trying for years.
Science has given up on him.
I'm just looking through my res. I think over the course of the weekend, I played two of my pre-release promos, and they were both expertises.
Huh.
Shrams and Yohannes. Because they're quite good, it turns out.
That's what I hear.
So nobody opened any masterpieces, including me?
No, the guy who got my spot did.
A lot of people open up their prize packs. I usually open mine up at home with the family, which is what I did this time. But somebody in my pre-release opened up a masterpiece, trying to remember which one it is, but I don't have the list of them, and I can't remember off the top of my head. But it was a masterpiece, and everybody said, sweet, good for you. So everybody at mine was really cool, which I appreciate.
I find in general, pre-releases tend to bring out the kinder side of a lot of players, mm-hmm. because there's less focus on winning, and everybody's seeing the cards for the first time. I mean, you get people who go there and want to win, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to win. It's when you want to win at all costs that it becomes less fun for the people that you're destroying.
You know, I noticed earlier today that in my recommended feed on YouTube, I had watched one or two videos by a channel, a guy named Negative Legend, maybe, when I was looking at getting into, at least temporarily, Force of Will, and it seems like that's a big thing for him. And I'd seen one or two videos since then, just go, hey, what's going on with it? But I haven't bought any product in over a year. And he put up a post either yesterday or today, said something about the biggest problem facing the Yu-Gi-Oh! Community. And I was like, I don't play that game, but I'm curious to see what he has to say. And he was talking about the toxic nature of some of its competitors, and he compared it to some of the games he's played, including Magic, and he said, even though he doesn't play Magic a lot, he said that he felt that, like, when he went to a Pokemon tournament, everybody there, win or lose, was happy and smiling the whole time. He said when he went to a Magic tournament, it wasn't necessarily the same atmosphere, but he felt like it was incredibly polite and professional, and everyone shook hands and treated each other with a great deal of respect. So, and I'm glad that that's the impression that our community gave him. So, yay for us.
That's true, right?
Yeah. And of course, sorry, go ahead.
We don't get a lot of, I mean, for all the stories that you hear of salty players, we don't get that many.
No. You're always going to have somebody. Just because not everybody is the same. And different players are going to take different attitudes towards things. But I think for the most part, a lot of people that I have dealt with have been really cool. I think that was one of the things that I was almost not scared, but hesitant to do professional Magic or, higher level tournaments, was because you hear these things about, the more cutthroat players.
Yeah.
But my experience in playing at those sorts of things for as long as I've been doing it is vastly, overwhelmingly positive. So, again, good on us.
And good on all you listeners, because, of course, Manipool listeners are the actual best people out there. So I'm so glad that there are so many of you out there being not jerks.
There's no way you're biased, of course.
Not at all. I'm cold, clinical logic.
Yeah.
Science! Yeah, well then.
I'm just going to go ahead and believe you. Millions wouldn't, but
quiet you. So, well then, shall we wrap it up then, gentlemen?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
What do we think about the set as a whole? I have no opinion.
I like it. I think it expands upon some of the themes from Kaladesh pretty well, without necessarily feeling like, oh, it's just more of the same. I think they chose correctly to remove Fabricate while pushing along energy and vehicles. I think the way they've done so is pretty well implemented. My sample size is smaller than these two, but again, it felt like it was very skill intensive. And as I said, I felt like you got rewarded for thinking a lot about your plays, not for sitting and going into the tank for hours on end, but really thinking about when is the best time to play this. How am I actually going to win the game? What is my avenue going to be instead of just play the good stuff? So I had a great time, and I am very, very looking forward to playing this same format in Orlando.
Mike Humble Brags.
And what's his face? Lansdale? What do you guys think?
I also think it's really cool. You know, we still get a lot of the interesting, you know, fun adventure style stuff from Kaladesh, and then we get the cool fight the man stuff from either Revolt. It's pretty fast. It can be a pretty fast format, so you gotta watch out for that. You don't want to get caught unawares. But it's fun. A lot of fun things to do.
Yeah.
I think for me, the thing I noticed the most about this format was how many different ways they found to enable Revolt without it seeming like they were pushing it too hard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like you had stuff like Conviction in this set. No, that's not a removal spell, Brian.
I know.
You've got like that green one mana aura that enchants a land, turns it into a painless City of Brass, but then you can sack it to draw a card. I think that card is great.
Yes. I think I mentioned in my removal suite earlier, which was of course wrong, or my pump suite, but it's really good. I love it.
I think you, like that you've got all of the stuff that sacrifices. You've got stuff that can technically kill itself. The set is just, it seems really well crafted. How it's going to play in limited, I don't know yet. I feel like there's enough energy generation to make the payoff cards in Kaladesh work. There's definitely the rewards for going wide are still there. You've got the green guy that puts a counter on everything because that's fair.
Yeah. He's really good. He's really, really, and he's a 5/5/5. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got the eagle that pumps your team and gives it vigilance. Because if there's one thing you're worried about when you alpha strike, it's getting killed on the backswing.
Mm-hmm.
That eagle is stupid.
Yeah. I'm sensing some bitterness, Chewy.
Well, Chewy didn't play.
Yeah, not at all. I saw it in action. He swung for 22 on turn, I don't know, like 4. No, it had to be 5. It was at least turn 5, possibly 6. Like, that's damn.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing is pretty silly. It is 5 mana, though. So
it's,
I guess,
5
that's
mana. Okay, then, yeah, it was at least turn 5 or 6, then.
Sure, I can believe it. I can dig it. Yes, I can.
You said he spent 4 mana the previous turn to do his shenanigans, so it could have been on curve 5, which is pretty good.
Also, oh, I forgot one gross play that I saw somebody pull off. This wasn't me, but I did see somebody go SRAM's Expertise into Master Trinketeer. That is a lot of power in a hurry.
Good lord.
Well, that's 9 power for 4 mana.
Buh.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, wait, is that a small number?
It is not a small number, sir.
Okay.
No, it is not. So is Brian's sister still hot? I feel like we haven't said that in a while.
I mean, as far as I know, she is.
She lives in Las Vegas, so yeah. It's warm there most times, so yes. I'm sure you're not referring to anything else.
He means literally hot.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Well, then don't move there. I really don't know what else to tell you.
Wow. Oh my God.
So how about some final thoughts then, gentlemen, starting with our English Canadian guest host. Lapsed podcast horror.
Is that the box he has to check when filling out forms? Caucasian, African American, whatever the heck Chewy just said.
The hell did I just say?
We're not sure.
Oh, good.
Science has once again failed us.
Science? Damn you, Clues. You're supposed to be better than that. Final thoughts. A couple of things. Bronchitis sucks. Yeah. If you wake up in the morning and you feel like you're gargling with shards of glass, it's not a good thing. I'm here to tell you. Try not to do that, guys. Really, it's not much fun. Also, that's why I sound like sort of Marlon Brando in The Godfather right now. Working on it.
With a more different accent, though.
With a more different accent. I'll make you an offer you can't refuse. And this is the day of my daughter's wedding. So yeah, that sucks.
Didn't you just go like Men in Tights there?
Wait, what?
That's
the line.
It's a parody.
It's a parody of the, have you not seen The Godfather?
Yes, I've also seen The Godfather. Okay, it was the way he said it.
I didn't know that Donald Trump was in Men in Tights.
What?
Yeah, apparently. You know, the scene where the sheriff of Nottingham gets cut, never mind. Anyway, mainly, I've been playing an obscene amount of the card game Eternal. I don't know if you guys have spoken about this yet.
You mean that game you've been playing during this whole podcast?
I have not.
Dude, Overwatch tells me. You're playing it right now. You might just be sitting on the menu, but I doubt it.
That's exactly what I'm doing. You're sitting.
It's on a card menu. Game?
You told me I wasn't allowed to play it. Yeah. So
I haven't heard of it.
The best way I can describe it and the way I have been describing it to my fellow Magic playing friends is Hearthstone 0.5. Yes, it has all of the, it's got basically a very similar UI to Hearthstone, but one thing it has instead is blocking and instants.
Okay.
Oh.
Hence the 0.5. It also, does things like, damage wears off at end of turn.
Okay.
So you can't like slowly wear something down because there's blocking. You don't need creatures with taunt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the game is a lot of fun. It's the one that, if you remember, that LSV and Conley Woods and Patrick Chapin and Matt Nass and a whole bunch of high level Magic pros, are working for a game design company. This is the game they're working on.
Oh, I was thinking, when I heard about that, I was thinking it was another version of, what is it, Ascendant or whatever?
Oh, Ascension?
Ascension.
So, yeah. Kibler was also working on a digital card game called Soulforge, and he was doing that as part of Stoneblade Entertainment, which is the company that made Ascension.
Okay.
He left there and is now a consultant at Direwolf Digital. He left because he was, you know, streaming and commentating for a direct competitor to Soulforge with Hearthstone. And, he has now started doing this with, with Direwolf Digital. And he's the consultant with them now. So he was streaming Eternal the other night when I decided to start streaming. Needless to say, I did not get many viewers. But yeah, Kibler is, mighty popular.
Oh yeah. Does he even play Magic anymore, or is he?
He shows up to Pro Tours, right?
He goes to Pro Tours and usually Day 2s.
Okay. I don't follow Pro Tours enough. I mean, I think he's a great personality. I've always enjoyed watching him play Magic, and I enjoy watching his thoughts on Hearthstone. I don't really sit down and just watch Hearthstone a whole lot anymore, but I see the videos and things. So.
Oh,
for a little while I played Duelist, because he was like, hey, check this out. For like a week, I was like, yeah, this seems pretty cool. And I just couldn't get into it, but he's good enough that I was like, yeah, sure. I'll check it out.
I don't know if I know Duelist. What's that?
It's they call it a card game because technically you draw cards into your hand, but they move around a board like figures when you play them. So it's kind of
tactical card game sort of thing.
Yeah.
So like a JRPG meets a card game.
No, it's more like HeroClix meets.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But you had to draw your figures from your deck, so.
All right. Okay. That makes sense. I think the best way, if I had to describe this game to someone, the best way to describe it would be like Hearthstone. It's almost definitely designed to give people who either don't like Hearthstone a way into more in-depth card games, or people who want to graduate from Hearthstone something a little more tactically in-depth to play.
Okay.
It's a good time to get in. I haven't spent a cent on the game, and I have a whole bunch of cards. Just playing through the campaign gets you a ton of cards.
It's called Eternal.
Eternal, the card game. It's available on Mac.
Yeah, it's free to play on Steam, Brian.
Steam, and you can also get it on Android.
Oh, okay.
Can you get it on iOS?
Not yet, because it's still, the mobile version is still in beta, and you know what the App Store is.
Okay. I will try not to get sucked into it.
It's free, and I think a lot of Magic players who have tried it prefer it to Hearthstone because it feels more like Magic.
You're not telling me things that won't suck me into it. You're telling me things that will get me sucked into it.
I mean, so. I'm not even getting paid by Direwolf Digital to do this. Phone's ringing.
Yeah, I'm back.
I just wanted to make sure he heard it. But yeah, so that's my final thought. I've been playing this game a lot. There's four modes you can play. Two of them are against the AI. Two of them. So even if you don't feel particularly social, you can still play the game and have fun with it.
My social proclivities tend to go either way.
Exactly. That's how I feel sometimes. So yay, not Magic.
I was actually really into Magic Duels for a while there, and I was actually saving up coins for when Kaladesh came out so I could get a ton of boosters, and I got a ton of boosters. And then after playing for a while after Kaladesh came out, I was just like, I was just ready to do other things, you know? So.
Yeah, I understand that. I feel the same way about a lot of games I've started playing, like Magic Puzzle Quest or, that game's actually quite fun to pick up and play every now and then. You don't feel bad for ignoring it for a week or two at a time.
Good.
I've still never played any of the Puzzle Quest games. I really want to go back and play the original, since it was apparently the best.
Pass.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, I haven't played... I couldn't compare it, but the Magic one actually does reward you for knowing how to play Magic to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a big deal for me. Because any edge I can get, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's my final thought. Try Eternal. It's free. What have you got to lose?
Just your soul. Just a voice.
I mean, what?
Don't worry. All right, then. No, you don't have a soul. Damn, Ginger.
Right? It's awesome. It frees me from so many obligations. So how about you, Mike? Not the soul thing, the final thoughts thing.
Right, final thoughts.
The spare may not have to do with your soul, so...
Maybe. We'll find out in a second. So my final thought is something that I meant to bring up at the beginning of the show, and I actually remembered.
Well, then it wouldn't be final.
So what?
Yes.
Excellent. I'm sorry. I'm not paying attention. I feel the hate growing in you. swelling, sorry.
So anyway, we got an email We got an email from a listener, Jeff.
Oh, right. Jeff's email.
Yeah,
Jeff's email. We should have mentioned that at the beginning. Whoops.
And we should have. So multiple times during the last episode, I said something to the effect of, you know, that originally Kaladesh Block wasn't developed and planned to be in the same standard as Amonkhet, which is clearly incorrect. And I don't know why I said it, and I don't know why I said it multiple times.
And once you said it, we all picked up on it, and we're like, yeah, that's probably the case. Not a single one of us corrected you. So,
yeah, no. For some reason, I had it in – okay, so I knew, or at least I was supposed to know on some factual level, that under the one rotation every 6 months that they had – that they had trotted out, that Battle for Zendikar would have rotated out of standard once Amonkhet came in. And then for some reason, my brain switched that around to say that wait a minute. What did I?
you were saying that they didn't.
While you're trying to figure that out.
Something happened.
I know whenever somebody says knew or should have known, I instantly go back to my days in law
school. Your days in what? You blinked out.
Law school. Knew or ought reasonably to have known.
Yeah, that's a phrase we love.
Anyway, so I knew that Battle for Zendikar was going to rotate out when Amonkhet hit under that plan. And I think just the all the changes in set releases and rotation schedules screwed me up. And I think it might have been a combination of the change in the schedule and knowing that something was going to be different, and then maybe having stuck in my head like the older way where there would only be two blocks in standard at a time when each block was three sets. That might have been what was tripping me up. So I don't know why I said – I don't actually know why I said Battle for Zendikar wasn't planned to be in the same standard as Amonkhet, but that was incorrect, and Jeff corrected us.
He did, and he did so politely.
Good work, Jeff.
Keeping us straight.
I've never met Jeff, I don't think, but Jeff's been around for a very long time.
Is that Low Guppy?
No. I know that Jeff. I have met that one.
It's a more different Jeff.
Yeah.
Right.
There are more than that Jeff.
There are too many Jeffs. There's only one Chewy. Thank God.
No, there's the one that's in the movies. That's
I
not
thought
me.
That was you in a suit.
What? No, I can't make that noise unless, well, you've heard the stand-up bit.
Oh, my. Did I ever tell you my girlfriend is a big fan of you?
The me that's not me in the movies or me, like me for real me?
You for real you.
Aw, it's cause I'm awesome.
I found a, video that either Screen Junkies or How It Should Have Ended made over the holidays of clips of Chewie that put together, make Silent Night. And Sam made me listen to it about 20 times. She thought it was amazing.
Cause it was. I don't think it was either of them though. I guess someone else could have co-opted it and it spread via Facebook. So it could have been actually.
Yeah, I thought it was on their thing, but I'd have to look into it.
Ah, no one cares.
I care.
Well, then who's left?
That would be me.
You're left or did you go?
I didn't go yet. What did I talk about?
Yeah, I was going.
Chewie, did you have more to say?
Yeah,
How It Should Have Ended made it. How It Should Have Ended.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But, Mike, were you done or did you have more to say?
I don't know. It's probably fine.
You sure?
Probably.
Okay.
We got hung up on the Jeffs and all of that and he lost it. I'm so sorry, Mike.
Well, he made his main point about talking about the, error that we made last time. So.
Right. Oh, there was one other thing.
Aha!
I thought it was one of the comments that got left on, last episode. Thought it was funny. Bosco says, this is a perfect example of what I sound like when listening to a given episode of the Manipool. Mattery Shaper. It's Mattery Shaper. Mattery Shaper. Come on. Oh, never mind. No, seriously, Mattery Shaper. Oh,
yep.
Thank you, God.
Yup. Can confirm. Also do.
I imagine that most people, in fact, have that experience when listening to our show.
If it makes you feel any better, it's not just you guys I do it to.
Yeah, I mean, and I was thinking about his comment again today when I was in the car driving to work, because that's exactly how I listen to Mark Rosewater's Drive to Work podcast. Because for so many of the cards he talks about, I'm sure the last time he ever thought about them in depth was 2 years ago before they had their final names.
Yep.
So I'm surprised he's able to remember as much as he does. But still, I'll be sitting there being like, you know, shouting at the name of a card or being here like, that's a sorcery. Or, nope, that's blue.
So you would think he would know more.
Mm.
After all, you know, he does make this game for a living.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I don't remember details about the projects I worked on last week. I don't have time. I got other stuff to think about this week, you know. So I figure it's just one of those things.
Yeah, it must be. Marrow okay. Goes.
Yeah.
Oh, before you start, Mike, you have to play this game. There's a 5/5 demon in it for 4 that will kill you.
Sounds pretty good.
Is that good stats?
Yeah. The stats are relatively equivalent to Magic. You start with 25 life, so.
Okay. Well, and, you know, if the average curve in a deck is, you could say something is like a 9,999 for two mana, and in the right game, you're like, wow, why? Why would anybody ever play that? That's stupid. You know, why is it not a million?
You get so. Yeah. Final thoughts, Brian. I want to be Chewy when I grow.
We all want to be Chewy.
I don't know why anyone would want to be Chewy.
It's for the novelty.
Beats being crunchy. Yeah.
I got to be careful here because I don't know what all has been said. Recently had a couple announcements from my family about some really exciting things, and I would love to talk about them, but I don't know how much has, like, I've heard right away that other people haven't heard, and I know nobody from my family probably listens to this show. Probably nobody. But I think I'll
Thanks a lot,
still,
Mom.
But I think I'll still just say that for right now that there's been a lot of exciting stuff happening on one side of my family, and we are all super excited, and I'll probably say a little bit more about that next week.
There's also the odds and ends, which won't go up for at least like 3 or 4 weeks.
If that.
Also Shut true. Up. Also true. But,
Getting upset.
So, but, no, I'm good. Work is good. Sam's good. Everything's good. And set looks good. People are great. Not everybody's great. I withdrew from a case today that I think was definitely for the best. But, on the whole, people in general give me hope, and the species as a whole. I guess my final thought will be, people are concerned about what's going to happen after tomorrow now that we have a new president coming in. We were joking about this a little bit at the odds and ends. We've been joking about this on and off for the last 3 months. Yeah. Well, even before, like, just the remote possibility, which at the time seemed pretty remote until right afterward. I think a lot of people that I know are not happy with what happened. Obviously, there were a lot of people that are happy with what happened. I think no matter what we joke about, I think at the end of the day, you know, life will largely go on as it was before. Some things will change. ACA is probably going away. The Affordable Care Act.
No, that's fine. They're just taking away Obamacare, remember?
Yeah, I've seen that post. I've seen that post, yes. For those that don't know, they're the same thing. Some things will change, but you know, the president is one man. The greater issue is Congress. People focus on the presidency because it's one person. When you compare it to the hundreds of people in Congress between, the House of Representatives and the Senate, it's too much. You think about who are my delegates? Most people probably don't even know who their delegates are. Who's my senator? How many representatives are from my state, from my area? But the fact of the matter is Congress has a whole lot more power than the president. We just tend to associate the president more, because it's easier to, more with power because it's easier to focus on one person at a time. The greater issue here might be that because the president and Congress are both controlled by the Republican Party, they're going to be able to push through their agenda a lot faster. And I, you know, believe it or not, I'm not a card-carrying Democrat either. I more prefer to see them about equal because then they kind of balance each other out. You don't have extreme agendas pushing either way. But I'm not thrilled with what's happening, but the truth is that the world will go on, and I think we'll be okay at the end of the day. I think we'll be all right. So that's just my final thought.
Word. I think the end is nigh. So, you know, whatever. That could just be because I'm vaguely miserable a fair percentage of the time. So it wouldn't be so bad. I'm going to go ahead and start calling you all comrade now, though, just to get it out of the way. So we're used to it by the time it becomes required.
So you are moving to Canada? Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, Lord. But so that leaves me. I have no idea what's going on anymore. I know that I've been streaming a little bit lately. I did Tuesday Night Hearthstone. I started playing Overwatch, which means whenever I get sick of streaming something, I end up streaming Overwatch with either Bill or Cap. That's Steven Rogers. No, really, that's his name. And apparently he was able to record an episode of Lair of Lore tonight. I was so proud of him. He's had a couple of flavor podcasts over the several years. The show of Feast and Famine back in the day, and then he started Lair of Lore, but between scheduling and ridiculous technical issues, and he was telling me about some of them earlier, and I was like, what? His luck is just the worst. But it sounded like he was able to successfully record a show tonight, so I was proud of him. And he's gonna start streaming every day over on his channel, which I feel dumb now because I didn't look up what his channel is. It's twitch.tv/ NIIAN713. It's the numbers I didn't know. NIAN713. And he and his fiance have a whole schedule of different flavors of shows. They're even going to be doing a cooking show, for God's sake.
Ooh,
during the streaming every day thing that he's going to be starting soon. So by all means, go check him out. Give him a follow.
I like food.
Yeah, obviously.
Yes, clearly.
Yeah, because you're Canadian.
Not yet.
Because you live in Canada.
I do.
Anyway, but yeah, I've been playing Overwatch with Bill and Cap, you know, Bill Squee from Monday Night Magic, or, you know, from the occasional Manipool episode, and even got a couple games in with Billy. Yay, Billy. And if you don't play Overwatch, oh god, don't, because I didn't want to play, and Bill told me, hey, I started playing Overwatch. I was like, really? So I gave it a shot. Now I can't stop. It's got its hooks in me.
I tried it once, and it's not for me. It looks like
fair enough. Game,
and a lot of my friends play it, and now another one of my friends plays it. But too many buttons. I can't get the hang of the controls.
See, that's why I use a controller, like a good console player.
Sure, that's a thing, I guess.
Yeah, but over on, so that's Twitch. I've been streaming stuff. And then Overwatch. So whatever the stuff is, and when I get sick of that, I go play Overwatch. Usually whenever Bill signs on, I'm like, dude, let's party out, play some Overwatch on stream. He's like, okay. Cause it's more fun with someone to play with. Like, ridiculously more fun.
I can think of some other things like that.
Yeah, like Left 4 Dead, which is another thing that's going up over on YouTube. I'm still working on the first campaign that me and Bill and Scott played together, that where none of us had ever played it before. After that, I've got two more campaigns that the three of us and Squanto played, and all of us had, of course, at that point played it before Squanto a lot. So that is a different experience altogether. So those will be going up, you know, once chronologically. I've also recently put up another Shovel Knight, another Rogue Legacy, another Octodad. I've got one more Octodad from that multiplayer stream that Mike and I did. And that game, oh my god, dude, there were several points where during editing I was giggling my ass off. So that's awesome. Also today I recorded, and if you're listening to this not on Early Access, then it's up now. Hopefully, if nothing went wrong, I recorded myself playing the Resident Evil 7 demo. Yeah.
They're still making Resident Evil games?
Well, they haven't in a while, since 6, but this one is an actual horror game, not like action game with zombies. Like, this is a horror game, and it scared the crap out of me. Like, at one point, I screamed so loud, I'm pretty sure I blew out the mic, and, not blew out, but I spiked it so hard that I blew it out. It's a recording term. I had too many decibels for the sensitivity that the mic was set at.
Oh, so. The decibels.
Shut up, Mike. Have you been meaning to ask me about that?
As a matter of fact, I have.
Yeah. But, yeah, I tried to get that all put together and rendered before we started recording, and I did not manage, so. But, yeah, that was fun, and I have to play it again, because apparently there are multiple endings to the demo, and since the game comes out, like, the full game comes out in a few days, I figured I'd go ahead and get in there, before that. So if you enjoyed watching me be scared, playing Five Nights at Freddy's, well, you'll probably enjoy watching me be scared playing Resident Evil 7. Cause like I said, it's actually scary. It's not like, oh no, I don't have bullets and there's four zombies. No, it's, what the hell was that? What was that? Did you hear that? What was that? You know, it's one of those, like, it's very heavy on the tension and the atmosphere and, the buildup. And I might have pooped. Just saying. So yeah, hell yeah. That was fun. I've still got more of all of those, more golf with your friends, more, still got Lethal League. Crap, I need to get the first one of those up. I've got so much stuff ready, not ready to go, but waiting to go up. I'm so excited.
I still don't understand.
What don't you understand?
Never mind. I can't remember where I was going with that.
Hey, dummy.
I'm old.
It happens. So, if you're lucky, as my old man says. I'm like, you're old. He's like, yeah, and if you're lucky, you'll get old too. Oh, good call, old man.
I mean, he right. As my mother always said, yes, you're old, but it sure beats the alternative. Being dead. No, getting old, but it beats the alternative. Getting dead. Shut up.
You're old.
Yes.
So anyway, the YouTube. So, okay, the YouTube channel and Twitch, everywhere you want to go, it's the Mana Pool. So Facebook, Twitter, which I highly recommend that you check both of those out. I'm on Twitter relatively constantly. If I have any sort of funny thought or anything, then I tweet it rather than put it on Facebook. But those are both ways to keep track of all the stuff that we're doing. YouTube is youtube.com/c/themanapool. Twitch is the Mana Pool. We're just the Mana Pool all over the place. If you want to send us an email, it's dorks@themanapool.com. And yeah, if you want to help support what I do with all of this ridiculous amount of content creation of various flavors, then please do check out the Patreon. It's patreon.com/themanapool, where every little bit helps. And I really do appreciate it. You can sign up to get Mana Pool episodes and YouTube videos early. You can get the odds and ends, which is all of the behind the scenes stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Mana Pool, and it's uncensored, and you get to hear Clues and Mike swearing. Brian too on rare occasion, but and me, of course, I swear constantly when I'm not on the show proper. But it's apparently it's really great to hear Clues and Mike swear. Mostly Clues. No offense, Mike.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. But that's where we talk about, you know, life and other interests and things that are going on and things that we're doing and all of that. So I've been told that it's well worth it. So there you go. And
oh, it is.
If you're feeling, oh, see, there you go. If you're feeling exceptionally generous, then you can hit the highest reward tier at the moment, which is getting all of that and get your name on the end slate for every video during the month that every month during every video during every month that you support at that level. There we go. Words are hard. So yeah, check that out. See if that sounds interesting to you. And I appreciate it because I don't put any real content behind a paywall. And the plan is to never do that. Like, I want everyone to be able to enjoy everything I do that I consider actual content. The odds and ends isn't content. It's just us, you know, dicking around essentially. So that I'm fine putting up behind a paywall. But all of the YouTube videos and all that, nope, nope, nope. That will always be free. So, it's just a way to show some thanks, show some support, that sort of thing. Yay. Email, Facebook, I guess that's everything. Yeah, hell yeah. So, a big thanks to Chris Lansdell for staying up late to help, not really late, to help us, do this episode.
Not a problem.
Be sure. No dying. Be sure to check out Chris's articles over on StarCityGames.com. When do they go up?
Normally on Wednesdays. So I should have two next week, though.
Ooh. Nice. Yeah, they redid the newsletter, so I'm guessing that you won't be writing for the newsletter anymore?
It seems unlikely. They're redoing a lot of things, actually. But yeah, it's they're not putting guest articles in there anymore.
That's too bad. I enjoyed that. But I will. And also follow Chris on Twitter @LandsDelicious.
Spelt just like it is in the show notes.
Exactly.
Hi, Clues.
So, this has been episode 449 of the Mana Pool. Hopefully, if all goes right, next month we will have the return of something very much anticipated. And if something goes wrong, then we'll catch it on a different week.
filling up with a frigging Mad Lib. You're going to do a Mad Lib next week just to annoy me.
I mean, we probably will now, but.
Maybe not for that express purpose, but we'll have it in mind.
Yeah. I love you guys. So, yeah. Episode 449 of The Manipool. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some Magic.